Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
And so in the series on the life of Moses, we come to the Ten Commandments given by God to Moses on two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written, listen to this, written with the finger of God.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. The Ten Commandments are respected around the world as the foundation of many legal codes. But as followers of Christ, what do these God-given commands mean for our spiritual life today? Are they just an outline of what moral behavior looks like? Today on The Verdict, we're uncovering the all-important context and divine purpose for the Ten Commandments. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
In our study in the life of Moses, we've come to this wonderful scene where Moses receives the Ten Commandments which were given to him by God on two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. These Ten Commandments are at the heart of what we call the Mosaic Law. Much of the message of the prophets in the Old Testament was explaining the Ten Commandments and calling the people to repentance for their breach of them. It's very important then that we understand that the Ten Commandments were not given to us as a ladder to reach God. Rather, the Ten Commandments reveal our need for salvation. All of us come short of the standard of God. So let's continue to look at the Ten Commandments, which were written by the finger of God.
Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Here's the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I am the Lord your God. I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Another of the 10 words. You are to honor your father and your mother. In the New Testament it says, children, obey your parents. But even those of us who are older, we're still to honor our father and our mother. Verse 13, you shall not murder. The taking of innocent life is murder. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Here is the final one. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is in your neighbor's. Well, very few of us have neighbors who have oxes or donkeys, but they have cars. They have other gadgets. We are not to covet anything that belongs to someone else. Now, when all the people saw the thunder, try and picture this, and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled. And they stood far off and said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die. Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. What an amazing situation. The Ten Commandments written with the finger of God. Now, what's the purpose of the Ten Commandments? Well, I've already said that they're to help people, to lead them to live a holy life. And the Ten Commandments also reveal our need for salvation. So the common idea that the Ten Commandments are a way of salvation, that if I try to keep the Ten Commandments, if I obey most of them most of the time, that ultimately I'll get into heaven. That some people see then the Ten Commandments as a ladder that I must climb in order to be saved, in order to approach God. No, the Ten Commandments are not a ladder that you must climb to approach God. The Ten Commandments are given by a holy God. Here are his standards. Here is an expression of his holiness. Here are the moral requirements that God is given. And the Ten Commandments then, the ten words written with the finger of God, were a gracious provision by God to his people so that they would live a well-ordered life under the sovereignty of God, bringing glory to God and enjoying the blessings of God. In other words, if the Israelites conduct their life in accordance with these 10 words, the 10 commandments, God is going to bless them. So the 10 commandments, the Decalogue, the 10 words, sets the standard of moral conduct. They reveal the holiness of God. They reveal the sheer magnificence of God, the glory of God, his holiness. What is this God like who comes down from heaven to Mount Sinai? He's an awesome God. He transcends time and space. And in the giving of a law, there is a symbolic difference. Did you notice that? A symbolic distance between God and the people. He is on the top of Mount Sinai as the transcendent God, the unapproachable God, as it were. And he's calling his people to live holy lives. Here is God's revelation on Mount Sinai. As we read in Exodus 19, he is majestic, he's awesome, he's brilliantly holy, and he is unapproachable. If a person, or even an innocent animal, just touches the mountain, it's going to be killed. A demonstration of the holiness of this great God. And as we are faced with this, as we're faced with the standard of God and who God is. He is holy, holy, holy. So holy that even the seraphim can't look at him, but with veiled face say, holy, holy, holy. He's transcendent. The very mountain is trembling. The people are trembling. Moses is in fear. This is God. And as he gives his 10 words, and as we read them, as I read them, every single one of us realizes that we have sinned. That all of us have broken God's law. And without the law, we would deceive ourselves. John the Apostle describes sin as lawlessness in 1 John 3, verse 4. The Ten Commandments then reveal our own sinfulness, but they also reveal our need for God's grace. Now, Israel had seen God's grace firsthand in many ways, in the remarkable deliverance from slavery. The time of the Passover, through the Red Sea, through the provision of manna and water and so on. And now God is giving them his 10 words, written with his very finger, a gracious provision to them, and a reminder to them, and a reminder to you and me that all of us stand daily in need of the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. You see, the law requires perfect obedience. James writes, James 2 verse 10, whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point is guilty of all of it. So as I read the 10 commandments, and some of them you feel, well, it's not too bad. I haven't killed anyone. I haven't committed adultery, but never stolen. What about false witness? What about that gossip? What about that false accusation? What about coveting? What about worshiping the one true God and having no idols in my life? No. all of us come short. And the law then points us to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only one who perfectly obeyed the law. You see, the law tells me what to do, but it doesn't give me the power to do it. It reveals our need of a Savior, a perfect Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who comes and perfectly fulfills the law and then takes my sin on himself on the cross. So these Ten Commandments, God's commandments, are to be obeyed. They're to be obeyed. They're commandments. They're not options or suggestions. They're clear commands. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness. You say, I don't know if I like them. Well, remember whose finger wrote them. And could you imagine a society where everyone made their own rules? Imagine if we had no rules in driving here. A red light, you can disobey if you want to. You're in a hurry. Imagine if there's no laws. Imagine if you know police officers. Imagine if there's no law enforcement. Is that really the kind of society that you want? You say, well, these laws are restrictive. I want to live a free life. God wants you to live a free life. You see, when you're truly free, instead of fulfilling your own sinful desires and going your own way, you'll understand something very, very important. That when I humbly submit to my Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to lead me in the paths of righteousness. He's going to lead me in a path of holiness, a path of wisdom, a path of fulfillment. You say, but the Ten Commandments are negative. I don't like negativity. Ah, but the negatives are the logical consequences of positive statements. If Israel is to be God's treasured possession, if they're to be a kingdom of priests, if they're to be a holy nation, it is essential that they refrain from certain evil conduct. And if you, my dear brother or sister, are going to live a holy life to please God, to give glory to God, you must refrain from all impurity. Now, Israel quickly broke the Ten Commandments. They initially, in Exodus 19, said rather glibly, oh, we'll obey them. Whatever they say, we'll do them. But that wasn't the case. Even before Moses came down the mountain with the Ten Commandments, they'd already broken them by their worship of the golden calf. What was God's reaction? God told Moses to cut out two new stone tablets and to come up to Mount Sinai again. You can read it in Exodus 34. And there the Lord reveals his compassion and his grace. You see, we have a God, yes, who is holy, but a God who is compassionate, a God who is gracious. And in the fullness of time into this dark world, God sends his Son. He sends his Son, God incarnate, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And our Lord Jesus Christ comes. And when he's asked in the Gospels, Lord, what's the greatest commandments? How would you summarize the law? Jesus responds with two positive statements. Two positive statements of love. This is it. This is how you summarize all of the law and the prophets. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your might. That's the first commandment. Secondly, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the Ten Commandments, some of them dealing with our relationship with God, others dealing with our relationship with our neighbor. If I love my neighbor as myself, I don't steal from him. If I love my neighbor as myself, I don't covet his car. And our Lord Jesus perfectly fulfills the law and interprets the law. He is the end, the culmination of the law, Paul says in Romans 10, verse 4. And listen to what Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 24. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. And now that faith has come, we're no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you're all sons of God through faith. How wonderful. As I stand before God, a sinful person, I've broken the law. But the law is a guardian. It's a tutor. It's pointing me to Christ. And it is in Christ and Christ alone that I receive forgiveness. Because he took my sin in his body on the cross, dying, being buried, and being raised from the dead. And now if I call upon him, if you call upon him, you will be saved. And now as followers of Jesus, we are no longer under the Mosaic law as an external code of law. You say, well, we're free from the law. Just be careful. We're no longer under the Mosaic law as a code of law, but we are under the law of Christ, who is the fulfillment of the law and the interpreter of the law. And so we're under God's law, not the Mosaic law, and we're under the law of Christ. So Paul can say in Galatians 6 verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. See, if I bear your burdens, I'm loving you as myself, and in that way I'm fulfilling the law of Christ. Every single one of you listening has broken the law, has broken the Ten Commandments. Don't look on them as a ladder to get you to God, no. They are a mirror. And as you look at the Ten Commandments, and as you think of the holiness of God, the Spirit of God will reveal to you your own sin, your own defilement. No, you can't use the mirror to get rid of your sin. The law is not soap that you put on you to get rid of the sin, no. The law says, do this, don't do that. Grace comes. And it's not a matter of do, it's a matter of done. It's a matter of pointing to our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfills the law and takes our sin in his body on the tree. And if you're listening without Jesus Christ, can I ask you to call out now to Christ to come and save you? You're condemned. I don't know what sins you've committed, but I know you've sinned. And I point you to Christ, the wonderful Savior, the only mediator between a holy God and sinful people like you and me. And then as I finish, I bring you not to Mount Sinai. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says about Mount Sinai as he summarizes it, Hebrews 12, verse 18. He's talking to Hebrew Christians. Some true believers, perhaps others professing. He says, you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and a gloom and a tempest. What's he talking about? You haven't come to Mount Sinai. Verse 20, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. No, I don't bring you to Mount Sinai. I bring you to Mount Zion. Mount Zion. Verse 22. For you've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. See, when I place my trust in Jesus Christ, I enter into tremendous spiritual blessings. I come and look forward to that great reality in the future when I will be part of that heavenly Jerusalem, that Jerusalem which will come down from heaven. Verse 24, and you've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, not a Mosaic covenant, a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Mount Sinai, what does it present? Terror. God is unapproachable, the holiness of God. Mount Zion, as we come through the mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ, symbolizes the new covenant, grace, freedom, joy. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, may you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. May you love your neighbor as yourself. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We tend to forget this in this casual society of cultural Christianity. No, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Mount Sinai was shaken so much that the people trembled. But we have come, listen to this, we've come to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That's the kingdom of God. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Yes, as I worship God, I'm to do with reverence and awe, not casually, not in a matter-of-fact way. This is a holy God. Yes, he's holy. Ah, but now through my Lord Jesus Christ, he's approachable God. My Savior is the mediator and has brought me to the living God, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father but by me. And now I'm part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken, a kingdom that is forever. And this world may shake, whether it's with COVID-19 or whether it's with riots or whether it's ill health or unemployment or whatever it is. The world around us may shake, but we who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. A kingdom, as Daniel says, that will last forever and ever. And through the grace of God, praise God, I am part of that kingdom. And my prayer for you is that you will as well. John Donne wrote this. No man ever saw God and lived. Moses learned that. The people said, don't even let God speak to us. Remember when Moses wants to see the glory of God, God says to him, you know, no man can see God and live. No man ever saw God and lived. That's true. And yet I shall not live till I see God. My life, my eternal life begins as I see God, as I come to Jesus Christ. And yet I shall not live till I see God. And when I have seen him, I shall never die. What do you mean? No, I'm part of that kingdom, the kingdom of God, saved by the grace of God. But my Lord Jesus Christ assures me of that he gives to me eternal life. Therefore, what am I to do? What are you to do? You're to receive him as your Savior. You're to trust him. You're to serve him. And you're to love him with all of your heart.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the end of a message titled, Written with the Finger of God. If you want to revisit any part of this lesson or share it with a friend, just visit our website at theverdict.org. And to go along with our study on the life of Moses, we'd like to send you a free copy of John's brand new listening guide. In this printable workbook, you'll be able to explore the biblical themes, key takeaways, and real-life applications that go along with every lesson we cover on the life of Moses. So go online and download your copy of the Life of Moses listening guide today by visiting us online at theverdict.org. We pray that each of these lessons and resources have helped you in your journey of faith. And today we're inviting you to help other listeners to learn and grow by supporting The Verdict with a financial donation. Through your generous giving, you can actively participate in reaching your community and others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give any amount, simply visit theverdict.org or send a donation in the mail to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And then just a quick reminder to subscribe to our podcast and get quick access to John's topical weekly segment called Avizandum. You'll find us on most podcast apps by searching for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you agree that the only one who has perfectly kept the Ten Commandments is our Lord Jesus Christ? He's the perfect man who loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loved his neighbor as himself. So, we don't look for salvation in the Ten Commandments, but rather in Jesus Christ, who came not to condemn us, although we deserve his judgment. He came to save us, to rescue us, to transform us, as he died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. Hallelujah! What a Savior!
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies.
Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.